Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
House prices are going to continue to rise for some time. That's according to the central bank. Issues around supply have resulted in, in some properties selling for 10% or more over their guide prices in the last year. Barry McDonald is a spokesperson for Real Estate Alliance. He joins me on the line now. Barry, thank you very much. That 10% is a kind of an outlier figure. What have the more recent figures been nationally?
Good morning, Philip. So today in the newspaper, the CSO are reporting that they've seen an increase in values of approximately 4.5% for residential property across the country, which is, if we'd spoken this time last year, I would have found that hard to believe. But having gone through the last few months and seen the levels of demand out there, I actually find that figure not surprising. In fact, I'm nearly surprised it's not slightly higher. I operate in suburban Dublin, where certainly I know demands are very, very strong at the moment. And there's a number of reasons for that. Obviously, not post-pandemic, but because of the pandemic, it's only helped to drive up values, unfortunately, for buyers over the last few months.
Yeah, so obviously a seller's market, but are houses actually selling or have restrictions slowed down the pace of transactions?
The houses are selling. They're selling quicker probably than ever. And what's created the difficulty, though, is there's just not as much houses coming to the market. New homes, the expected rollout of new homes just hasn't hit the targets that were expected, because obviously for large parts of the last 12 months, developers were stopped in their tracks. Builders couldn't go onto sites and continue to build. And obviously as well, actually this time last year, a lot of developers were so unsure as to what lay ahead that they decided not to plough on with new developments. So there's a bit of a logjam there in new home developments. And certainly looking at the property supplement today, I see three new home developments advertised in the Irish Times, which is staggeringly low. Now, look, there's more than that out there for sale, but there's still just not enough new homes coming to the market. Secondly, the second-hand property market has seen a dramatic reduction in supply also. And again, the reason for that is just the uncertainty, I think, brought about by the pandemic. A lot of people who may have traded up or downsized over the last 12 months have kind of maybe adopted a wait-and-see approach because of the uncertainty.
And is there anything concrete here, like an increase in building costs, for instance, that is pushing prices up? Or is it solely price expectation? People are prepared to pay a little bit more today than they can afford in the expectation that they would be paying a lot more a year from now than they can afford.
Yeah, there's no doubt that building material costs have gone up. Any builder or anyone involved in construction will tell you that. However, I do think the biggest driving force on prices of new homes is actually more based around what the market will give. And developers will always seek to price it at what they'll sell for. Also as well, yeah, you're right, a lot of commentators are indicating, you know, economists and otherwise, based on the likes of this CSO report, that they see this trend going to continue for the foreseeable future. And as a result, that only adds fuel to the fire. It adds a level of panic nearly to some buyers out there who've had a torrid time the last 12 months trying to buy a house. You know, they go from the situation of joy getting their mortgage approval to frustration in the property market, find it so difficult to find a suitable house at a value that they believe is fair.
Stay with me if you will, because your thoughts on the next part of this conversation would be interesting, Barry, because I want to look at the central bank who are launching a review of their mortgage lending rules. As part of this, members of the public are being invited to participate in an online survey to give their views. And obviously, the hope and the expectation of anybody entering the market is that they might loosen up those restrictions imposed by banks on borrowers. I'm joined also by Owen McGee, author of How to Be Good with Money. Why is the central bank doing this now, Owen?
It's interesting. The central bank do this every year, but they kind of have a look at it every year. This time, it's around 10 years, I'd say now. This time they said they're going to do a bit of a deeper dive. They're going to do a proper review of it. They're going to ask for input from the public and people in industry, and whoever wants to give their opinion on it can give their opinion on it. And they're going to review that and really look at it properly. and see what changes need to be made. There haven't been any significant changes being made since these guidelines were introduced, but I think it's probably just where the market's at. But let's remember why these rules were introduced in the first place. They're not to try and help, they're not necessarily trying to help people get mortgages. What they're trying to do is they're trying to make sure, I'm sure the central bank would dress this up in a slightly different, more punctuated way, but they want to make sure that we don't bail out banks again. They want to make sure that banks don't give out money that people can't afford to give back. Now, that's in the benefit of individuals, but it's also in the benefit of society that we don't have what was reckless lending, where people were getting nine times their salary. Like, I remember people, €30,000 borrowing 270,000, salary at 30, getting 270,000 euros. Like, it was ridiculous the amount of money that people were able to borrow, and they don't want to go back to those times.
So, and so now we're at 3.5 times your gross salary, as well as a loan-to-value ratio restriction.
Yeah, so basically the rule is, to keep the math simple, if you're on €100,000 before tax on your own, you can borrow €350,000. If you're on €50,000 and €50,000 as a couple, that's €100,000, you can borrow €350,000. And that's the rule, and you can't break that rule. You can break that rule with what's called exceptions. And this is a real difficult one to crack, to understand when an exception is given out and when an exception isn't given out. So the banks are allowed to break the rules. Sorry, the other rule, just to jump back for a second. The other rule is a first-time buyer has to come up with a 10% deposit. A second-time buyer has to come up with a 20% deposit. Mm-hmm. And those rules can be broken. Generally, in about 20% of cases, the banks can break those rules. But who falls into that 20% just changes all the time. Like, you could get an exception from one bank and walk into another bank and be refused one. You could actually have heard of cases where people walk into the branch of one bank and get refused an exception, and walk into another branch of the same bank and get an exception. Now, they have started to centralise it a lot better, and I'm sure the banks will argue with me on that, but there are situations on the ground that are happening like that, where you can get an exception. So those rules are very muddy. It's very difficult to understand how they're being applied and how you manage to get one.
And Owen, does it suggest to you that if they're announcing a major review and they're inviting so much public participation in that review process, that they are thinking about loosening up the restrictions?
Do I think they're going to? I think it's ultimately we have to go back to where they're starting from. Their starting point here is to make sure we don't have to bail them out again, to bail the banks out again. I think that there are some problems around the edges of this. People, if you're a first-time buyer and you're trying to get on the property ladder and you're talking to Barry and Barry's showing you lovely houses and you want to buy them, you really are frustrated by the 3.5 times rule. There are people out there who are spending 50% of their salaries on rent, and the mortgage would be 25% of their salary on a month-to-month basis, and they cannot understand why they can't borrow the money. The reality is, though, if the 3.5 times rule gets changed dramatically, I believe, and I'm sure lots of economists will believe, and I doubt Barry will disagree with me, if we give people more money, they will pay more money for houses, and houses will go up. That's what's going to happen. So if we break these 3.5 times rules, house prices ultimately are going to go up. It's interesting that Barry said that the builders, if you ask any builder, they'll tell you that house prices, the cost of building houses have gone up. I don't doubt that for 1 minute, but I doubt if the cost of house prices went down, any builder would tell you that either. So houses will sell for the price that people are willing to pay for them. You give them more money, they will pay more money. We also have to remember people have more savings now. So house prices, because we have more savings as a result of the pandemic, there are 2 million people in Ireland who are better off financially as a result of COVID. And there's lots of people who aren't better off, but there are 2 million people whose salaries stayed the same and their expenses went through the floor. We have 15 billion more in savings now than we did in this time last year.
So while the national debate is being driven, if you like, by this text that I've just received on 51551. Hi, Philip. If I'm paying astronomical rent and can't save a deposit, why can't I be given a 100% mortgage, which would actually cost me less per month? It's impossibly stacked against younger people. That's what is shaping the debate around demand. But is the central bank still conscious of the fact that there are, I think at last count, 55,000 mortgages in arrears, which would account for somewhere between 200 and a quarter of a million people under the roofs of those mortgages who can't pay their mortgage, and that's just something with another economic crisis looming that we don't want to add to?
Yeah, absolutely, Philip. The problem here is that there are 55,000 people out there who can't pay their mortgages and they can't afford to pay their mortgage. And there is It was proven particularly in the States, where during the global financial crisis, that if you have what we call skin in the game, the more skin in the game you have, the more you feel attached to that property, the more that you feel you have to lose. Now, don't get me, please don't take me wrong. I'm not saying there are people out there who can afford to pay their mortgages that aren't. But that's, the bank wants you tied into the property the same way you are, because if everyone has skin in the game, the likelihood of the mortgage working out is dramatically improved. And we saw that from the States.
Barry MacDonald, as an estate agent, presumably you would like to see those restrictions loosened up a little bit and be able to sell more houses to people. But can you see why the central bank perhaps shouldn't?
I do, yeah. They are. I understand that the restrictions are more stringent than you'll find in any other jurisdiction in the EU, but they were brought in for very good reasons.
We were more bankrupted by this than any other jurisdiction in the EU.
Yeah, they were brought in for very good reason, and I think they are doing a job to prevent runaway values that we may have seen back in 2006 and 7 happening. I don't think the problem is this, and while I have sympathy for the likes of your texter who indicated that they just don't have the savings, but they could afford certainly a lot easier than the rent, they could afford a mortgage. The difficulty is somebody could lose their job. There could be a decision made that all of a sudden the property market starts to go backwards in value, and all of a sudden that individual is looking at a negative equity. And negative equity is a very dangerous situation, as we saw back in 2009 and 10 and 11. And that is exactly what the central bank are trying to avoid. They have made tweaks to their rules over the years through processes like this. And I do know that, as I've said, they are more stringent than other areas. But I don't think it's the problem. I think the problem is the shortage of supply right now, and I think that's going to continue to drive up prices. And only giving mortgage approval to more parties is only going to add to the value. So, I agree 100% with what
Owen should
said.
Be dealing with this on the supply side and not on the demand side. So then, Owen, in summation, with this review, I know it's the job of the central bankers to take away the punch bowl. Do you think that they would be inclined to water the punch down rather than take the punch away?
I think the best we can expect here is that the exceptions might be looked at and who can get them, and a little bit more rules around who gets exceptions and who doesn't. And I think one of the things that really catches people badly is the 20% deposit for second-time buyers. And that's because, I suppose, the central bank introduced it thinking you're selling a house so you can buy another one. Of course, you need to have the 20%. There are still people who are struggling on getting that, even if they have a second, if they are buying their second home or they're selling their first one to buy their second one. And then you have couples who split up, or people who bought a house with their sister to get on the property ladder. And if you have a couple, one of them is a first-time, a new couple, one of them is a first-time buyer and one of them is a second-time buyer, they're both treated as second-time buyers. And we've seen some suggestion from the shared equity scheme that's coming on later on in the year, that second-time buyers will be treated a bit more favourably. I think that that's one of the areas the central bank needs to look at.
Okay. Both of you, thank you very much for joining me this morning, Owen McGee and Barry MacDonald. We'll take a break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.